she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my penny.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Colby Sapp.
Hello.
And me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And Autoflex is open today at both locations, ready for your business. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. If you're telephonically challenged, you can also go to www.autoflex.com.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was driving in this morning and I saw a great billboard. I got into a debate with some friends over this past week about whether or not everyone in the car has to have a seatbelt on, regardless of where they are. I always thought it was front seats only, and then now it's every single person in the seat. And I was driving in, and I saw a really good billboard from the Texas DPS that says, tickets available for all seats. Like a big concert promo. But it was cute. It was kind of catchy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind when you're out there tooling around this weekend. Right. I loved it.
Anybody can be thrown out of the car.
True.
That's right. And that's why the people in the back don't deserve to be in seatbelts, right?
Well, they are, you know, they're second class.
Yeah, they're just
riders,
not as important as
second class passengers if you're in the back.
Yeah.
Well, if you're driving Miss Daisy, though, then you're the important one. You're being chauffeured around.
But I'm going to miss being able to sleep in that back part of
the package tray.
Just laying back there and jostle around as you're going over dirt roads and such. That was awesome.
Or cooking if it's the middle of the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh gosh. Yes.
Colby, let's be honest. You can't fit in the packing tray.
No, not anymore.
Maybe a really big package tray.
Right. Yes.
Maybe.
Package tray.
All 1959 Cadillac,
those
maybe.
Those really wide.
Ride, big, yes.
For a full-grown man.
There you go.
So speaking of cooking your car because of the Texas summer heat, cooking your food straight out of the car, is your car ready for summer?
That's a great question. You know what? Most people don't realize that the different temperatures and the extremes that we have here in Texas put a lot of stress on your car. And so there's a lot of things to think about as you prepare your car for summer. And I think, and I could be going out on a limb here. In fact, I am. But I think we've seen the last of the cold weather this morning. Because it's starting to warm up, and it's going to be mid-90s by midweek.
I heard it's going to be 97 next week.
Yeah.
But
so,
it's taken a while to get hot.
Well, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
It's been really, really nice.
This time of year in Texas, it's already almost triple digits.
Well, so let's think about getting your car ready for summer. For one thing, how's your coolant? Because that's what keeps your car cool in the summer. And that means antifreeze and water. Mm-hmm. And a mixture of 50-50, and have it checked because it breaks down over time. So if your car is 5 or 6 years old, it probably should have it changed out. If your car is less than that, it's highly unlikely that it needs it. But you should have it checked and changed out.
What is this about? Old coolant can develop a slight electric charge that can cause premature corrosion inside your engine and radiator?
There, I hear my engine now. It can, and worse than that, inside your heater exchange inside the car, you've got an area where hot water flows through a core. It's called a heater core, and the air blows through it, and that's where you get your heat. That corrosive action can really affect that heater core, and that's an expensive repair. So have your coolant checked. Make sure it's still in good shape. Again, especially if your car is 5 or 6 years old.
Now you have more of a reason to change the coolant than just people telling you to.
A good idea to maintain your car, too. Check the battery. Now, most people, you know when your battery's going to go out. Because instead of going, yay, 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 it goes, yay, yay, yay.
The battery does that?
If it does that, and then it starts, drive it straight to a store and get a battery. Because what you don't want to, because when your battery's dead, you're dead, right?
Yes.
Not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Most batteries go out slowly, and so it makes it pretty easy to see. A good idea, though, about every 3 years, that's when you probably should replace your battery, because that's about how long they last.
Did you know that?
No. I would have thought they just lasted forever until they finally...
Well, they last until they poop.
Right.
My poop out.
battery poop?
No, my little Acura TL, that battery lasted 7 years.
Yeah.
And then I went out, and it never did... Didn't do that. I went out for lunch one day. It was summertime, 1,000 degrees, and It exploded. I mean, it... yeah. Anyway, I started it up. There was this boom, smoke, and I thought, what has happened? You know, I duck. I'm thinking, what is that? So well, it's just the battery.
That means it's shorted out, an internal short. And every once in a while, they don't do it that way often, but every once in a while they do short out. And when they do, it's instant, so you have no warning. Get it changed out every 3 years or so, and you don't have to worry about it.
That's how it worked.
Tires. Tires are one of the things that really take the biggest beating from the heat and the cold. Because in the cold, they shrink, and in the heat, they expand, and the air inside your tire expands. So it puts additional stress on the tire. So going into the summer, check your tires. Make sure you don't have any lumps. Make sure you don't have any big dry cracks if you haven't been driving the car a lot. Check the inside edges of the tires, because there's a lot of cars that wear tires on the inside edge before they do the outside edge, and you can actually have a dangerous tire on your car, and just glancing down from the top, it'll be fine. So you got to check the inside edges as well.
Rotate those tires every 5,000 miles?
Yeah, anywhere from 5 to 7,000 is a good idea.
Every time you change your oil?
If you can do that. Now, there's some cars that you can't rotate tires on.
Well, that's true, depending on the size of the tire. Sure.
Yeah, right. Mine you can't.
No.
You've got Lexus IS 250.
Larger rear.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are different sizes on the front and back.
Windshield wipers. This is the most neglected thing on a car, I think. Most people replace their windshield wipers when they can no longer see when it rains. That's really right.
I'm guilty of that.
The blades, the little rubber blades themselves.
And they actually take more wear than any other part of your car, because they're wind buffeted every time you drive, and they're always in the sun, they're always in the rain, they're always in the cold.
True. I'd say the wipers and the tires. Especially since they're rubber, there's so much corrosion.
Well, and the sun really breaks down the rubber. Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't know, that's gamma rays, by the way, folks, is what does that. So it's a good idea to get those windshield wipers checked. Maybe get them changed out every year at least, because it's not that expensive. You can even change them out yourself. Go down to the carport store and tell them what you got, and they'll tell you how to replace them. Hoses. Hoses wear because of temperature in the engine compartment, and hoses wear regularly. Every time you start the car, it adds additional wear and tear to a hose. If you have a hose break while you're on the highway, you're screwed right there. You're done.
Yeah.
So have your hoses checked at least annually, and especially going into Christmas, because into Christmas.
In the summer.
Yeah.
Or the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true about belts. Belts wear down because of the heat of the engine and the constant strain, because there's tension on them. Get them checked. If you don't, again, if your serpentine belt comes off, if you have one, you're wherever you are. You're not moving another foot.
Yeah, because that rotates everything, not just your air conditioning, but power steering. And
Check your lights going into summer, just because it's a good time to do it. Don't be driving around with an extra with a tail light out or a fog light out, or there's just
or
no need to
out.
Or a headlight out.
Save yourself a ticket.
And a lot of times you don't know when your light's out because you can't see it. So take a minute, turn all the lights on, walk around the car. Have a good
like
service
station.
Like the
Japanese do.
That's
right. When they get their driver's license.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just when they get their driver's license. Apparently, they want to incorporate that into, you know, they do a little safety check, a little walk around the car every single time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Fluid levels. Make sure you have a mechanic, a trusted mechanic. Check all your fluid levels going into summer because, again, things are going to get hot. It's going to put a lot of strain on your car. And finally, if you want to keep it just beautiful and you've made it through that horrible, rainy, cold winter, wash, polish, or wax your car. And that'll get it nice and shiny going into summer. It'll also protect it.
Yes, I love that. Now that the weather's getting nicer, it's actually good weather where you can go out and wash it yourself. You know, or you can get
true.
The old bucket and the sponge
make
and the
a
hose.
Music video.
Yeah.
You know, get out there and put on some good music in the background, have somebody videoing you.
Right. When was the last time you guys washed your own cars? It's been a while, hasn't
19...
it? Back in the 1900s.
18.
Yeah. I actually
that was
did
a horse
it
in the 1800s.
A few weeks ago, because it's so beautiful outside, and I was thinking, you know what? I really want to go outside and do something outdoors, so that's what I did. My car needed a bath, and I gave him one.
And I'm the same way. I really wanted to hand my keys to that guy that goes, I'm going to wash your car, and I hand him the keys, and they take it to a car wash.
Right.
Yeah. It works.
It does work. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
I'm not bragging, babe, so
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. You can call AutoFlex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com. And if you want to follow along with the stories we're doing here or see some pretty cool videos, go to AutoFlex.com, click on our Facebook page and like us because we've got some great car stuff there and some pretty cool videos.
And we were just talking about how great this weather is. It's beautiful outside. Today's a good day to go test drive a car.
It is, in fact. And if you want to do that and you don't want to go four or five places to drive four or five cars, give us a call or go to AutoFlex.com and click on Set Up a Test Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send us an email. We'll set up a test drive for two, three, four, five cars, whatever you want.
Could you test drive a Jaguar F-Type convertible?
You could, in fact. And I have done this. And let me tell you what. This is a great car. It is so good looking.
Love
it is
Jaguars.
Unbelievable. It's a little two-seater convertible. First one they've had out in many years. It's called the F-Type, and they expect it to be 20% of their entire production. Now, Jag doesn't sell a zillion cars. They don't, because they're an expensive car. This car starts at about 78 grand.
Ooh.
Now, the good news is you can lease one for like $8.99 a month, which is pretty cheap on a $70,000 car when
yeah.
you think about it. But the main thing is the looks. This car is beautiful. It is stylish. It is powerful. It is awesome. The interior is just perfect. They've done everything right on this car. We got one, Park Place Jag was kind enough to bring one over for us to look at and check out. So we appreciate Brian over there. And I'm going to tell you, if you're thinking about a two-seater luxury car, this car is probably, I mean, I think it's head and shoulders above everything else. Here's the other thing. It's a Jag, so I drive it in warranty. Out of warranty, I wouldn't want to drive the car because they cost a lot to fix.
Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to lease it.
It does make sense to lease it. That and the $8.99 a month, because if you looked at a car payment on this car, the car payment would be $2,000.
Yikes.
You know, but yeah. They're inexpensive in a lease, and they're just a fabulous, fabulous looking car. Go online. You can see it there. It's the F-Type Jag. It's the 2014. Comes with three different engines. Comes with a 3.0 V6, it's 340 horsepower, a 380 horsepower 5-liter V8 with 3.0 V6, 340, a 380, 5-liter, or a V8 with 495 horsepower. All of those engines are supercharged.
Very nice.
And if you're worried about gas mileage, this is not your car, okay?
Well, what kind of car would compete with this, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the Porsche 911, the Audi R8 Spyder, Aston Martin V8 Vantage, Chevrolet Corvette, cars
wow.
like that.
So
yeah.
It's a
two-seater sports car, and it's great looking.
Mm-hmm. That's my dream car, a Jaguar. One day,
it is.
When I'm rich and retired, I'm going to get myself a Jaguar. Hmm. Yeah, I've always wanted one. I have. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about this trade group story, because I know, David, you were excited to get into this one today.
I was, but I gotta read it on AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Get out of here. You would take that over a GT3 Porsche? No, I didn't say that. I said it was a great-looking car.
And the competition was a Porsche 911.
Yeah, not a GT3. No, I'd take a GT3. You bet.
I'll have to look that one up.
Take it and drive it.
It's an awesome car.
Nice.
Okay, there's an interesting thing that's come out of Washington. That's going to either cost us money, us, you and me, or not cost us money, according to how it goes. But the CFPB, or the Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau, has come out with a ruling that says that if you make a loan on a car or a home, and that's the two things they've come out with so far, and you charge someone a different interest rate than you charge someone else, you could be discriminating. And let me tell you how this affects you and me, all you guys listening out there. If you have really good credit and you're going to get a car, you're going to get a lower interest rate than somebody that's got bad credit. What the CFPB is saying is that it might not be right to charge somebody with bad credit a higher interest rate because you could be discriminating against them. And if that sounds like it's irrational, it is. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
So all of the lenders that we work with are very, very concerned right now because if they cannot charge a higher interest rate for people that have poor credit, those loans are less likely to be paid off successfully. They have to mitigate their loss somehow. In other words, they charge them a little more because they know there's going to be some repossessions involved.
Greater risk factor.
That's how it is. It's a greater risk. But the CFPB is saying if you charge them more, you may be discriminating. And they're also saying that you don't have to know you're discriminating to be guilty of discriminating. So now everyone that makes car loans and house loans, by the way, because HUD is also involved in this, HUD is involved, everyone is afraid to move forward with their loans. They don't know if they're going to be in trouble with the government. They don't know why. They don't even, and here's the other thing. The CFPB has not presented their method of determining why this might be discriminatory. So now all of the big banks are afraid, all the big lenders are afraid because there's no ground rules. They can't tell if they charge somebody more, if they're going to get in trouble or not, even if that person has bad credit, because the CFPB is not bringing credit into that picture.
So they'll either not make the loan, correct?
Correct.
Or they'll add some fees to mitigate the difference in the interest rate. Well, I mean, they'll get their money if they're going to make the loan. I'm positive of that.
Well, and so the mortgage banks have already said, look, if we can't charge higher interest to people that have poor credit because of our additional losses there, we're just not going to make those loans.
Well, that'll be crippling.
It will be crippling for people with bad credit. But the alternative is that they put themselves at risk by charging them more.
And the only way to get good credit again is to start over again and get another chance.
Or you have to make people with good credit pay more to make up for the losses on the people with bad credit.
Which also isn't fair.
No, it isn't. But again, common sense and right and wrong have nothing to do with our government. It's politics.
Here's what I don't get. I mean, to me, the whole point of the credit rating is to find out where somebody ranks. And that's exactly what determines the percentage rate and what their payments are going to be. And you've usually gotten your credit rating by your history. And if somebody's right. going to give you a major loan, they want to know what kind of history
exactly.
you have.
Yeah, and so this really flies in the face of all that. The one big thing I think is different now is 13 Democrats in the Congress, including 5 members of the Black Caucus, have brought this into question. And they are generally very liberal in their thinking, and they come down on the liberal side of things. They're very consumer-oriented. But even they can see that this is a regulatory problem because no one understands the ground rules. And if you're out there getting a car loan, it's a real thing to you, no matter, and everybody gets car loans. Mm-hmm. So it could either cost you money if you've got great credit, save you money if you got poor credit, or mean that you couldn't get a loan if you got poor credit. Because there's a lot of lenders that may not make a loan.
They think it will save them money. They will add fees.
Well, and that's the other thing. They can add fees of some sort to
yes.
make up for it.
I mean,
it's just
silly.
A little confusing for all of us.
It is, and they use that buzzword, discrimination, ugh. And then everybody's up in arms about it.
Well, and it's because it's a real thing, and no one wants to see anyone discriminated against.
Right.
No, but it's not.
But you have to have some basis to judge what is and what isn't, and that's what they're not presenting.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not, it's like a kid in school. They're not showing their work.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying this is the answer. But they're not showing how they got there.
And speaking of that, why do kids get grades in school? That's discriminating against the ones who don't make A's.
Well, and careful, because everybody's special
don't
these days.
Don't give them any ideas.
Oh, fun.
Everybody gets a trophy.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration is about to make a decision on automatic braking, and they're going to do it by the end of the year. And automatic braking means that your car is smart enough to know when to slam the brakes on, even if you're not.
Okay. This kind of concerns me because I think it would encourage people to be messing with their phones and doing other things. Oh, my car will handle it.
You have a
it.
Safety net.
I don't need to pay attention.
Well, and it might save a lot of people's back bumpers from those people that are texting and things because mm-hmm. their car would actually stop.
Right.
And, you know, we had 34,000 deaths in 2012.
Terrible.
It's the most since 2008, but it's still far, far below what it used to be. And
true.
One of the reasons is because of mandated safety systems. The anti-skid system that is in most cars that
fabulous.
Keep you from sliding out of control, keep you from rolling over in a lot of cases, saves lives.
I'm positive it saved me from hitting that truck that pulled out in front of me. I mean,
yeah.
I had to lock them up and my car just held tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It stopped.
And you can actually steer when you lock your brakes mm-hmm. up because of that. So you're able to slow down and avoid the object. Before that, when you locked your brakes up, you went forward. If you turned your wheel, nothing happened because your wheels weren't turning.
Right.
So, there's a lot to be said for this. The downside is it's going to run the cost up on cars. It'll anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 a unit, according to the cars, what they're saying now.
It's a lot cheaper than the than the end result of the wrecks and what it does to your insurance or what your hospital bill or your inability to go to work because you wrecked your car. So
Yeah. As of last week, they said they're going to make a decision by the end of 13. We'll see, because they don't often make fast decisions. They sometimes take up to 20 years. And, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. The backup camera mandate, which was going to be a law this year, it's been put off again and taken completely off the table.
What do you guys think that are listening? What do you think about all the extra safety? Are you pro? Would you be willing to pay more for a car because it has all of these features? You know, those are options available on cars now. Mm-hmm. Right now, you have to generally go to a vehicle with a top-level trim package to get something like that, or some of the more expensive brands, the Highline brands that offer it, but that's still a package. You know, it's not a standard feature.
Right.
Well, but a lot of the safety features now, again, because either they were mandated, or a lot of manufacturers, if they think something is going to be mandated, they'll go ahead and adopt it themselves, because they know it's better for them to put it on the car and them to lay out the specs as to what it's got to do, rather than Washington, which may not be as familiar with the actual operation or the manufacturer of the car.
What do you think? Is it worth it to you?
Well, how much more are we talking?
Well, that's what he was saying, anywhere from $1,000
to $3,000.
Because that seems a little pricey. I mean, per car, and
yeah,
it's something I've done without for all these years.
I know, but it's something that's approximately the cost whenever you get those packages now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fellows at work told me it kept him from hitting somebody when he was getting on the highway. And, you know, you're always looking to your left whenever you're on the entrance ramp. And he's looking back, and there's a lot of traffic. The woman in front of him stops for some reason. It's not because of traffic.
Right.
But he wasn't looking. He was mm-hmm. looking to the left to see, okay, where's my little spot to get in? And the little beepers went off, and it stopped him.
So it came in.
He didn't hit her.
Handy.
ABS mm-hmm. saved me from hitting a truck when I was in a Corvette one time. This was years ago, and Corvette was one of the very few cars that had ABS. And a truck in front of me on a two-lane highway that was under heavy construction, so there's no shoulder at all. Just those little iron things with a little orange stick that you know will tear your car open if you hit them. That's what was on the sides, and the truck stopped in front of me, and I was able to slam the brakes on and slowly steer into the left lane around him and didn't hit him. I would have hit him without that.
Oh, you're talking about ABS,
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
His stopped it for him.
No, I understand. Same kind of principle, though. It's something that takes over when you're not able to do it yourself.
I'm all about safety features.
The other thing, these brakes, the new brakes, they measure whether you're braking fast enough, and they can tell by the approach of whatever the object is. They'll put additional braking on for you. I mean, they do a lot of stuff. We'll see what happens if they mandate this.
Well, anybody in a 1997 Jeep Grand Cherokee would be appreciative if you had that on your car before you ran into the back of them.
Yes.
That's very specific.
Well, there's later in the story, but there's a possibility. Chrysler. Well, we'll wait.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby Sapp, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, or AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web.
That's right.
And you should call AutoFlex if you don't want to spend the next umpteen days getting a car. Because it's easy at AutoFlex. You can get a car in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I went in and test drove my cars, test drove three of them back to back to back, and it was probably, I don't know, 40 minutes of test driving, not even. I mean,
quick.
And then
she drives fast.
I do. And then I did all the paperwork over the phone with Tammy, and then Harry brought my keys up here to the station, and I went in a commercial break and signed the paperwork.
Harry's a great guy.
Yes.
Harry, for everyone that doesn't know, Harry Theophilides is one of the guys we work with. And Harry played quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
He was Sonny Jurgensen's backup. And he got traded. And he was so happy because he thought, now I'm going to not be behind Sonny. I'll get to play.
Right.
And they traded him to the Jets, and he played behind Namath for the rest of his career. It's true. But he and Joe are friends. He and Joe Namath are friends. And, and he's a really cool guy.
Yeah, he was great to work with. So
he's a great guy.
Such a nice person, too.
He is. And his customers just love him because Harry is just the kind of guy that cares about his customers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk a little bit about some of these recalls.
Yeah, so, something really, really strange and different in the automotive business happened this last week. The National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration had suggested that Chrysler recall 2.3 million vehicles. And these vehicles, some of them were built as long as 20 years ago. And usually when a recall like this happens, or they suggest that a recall happen, the manufacturer just capitulates and goes, yeah, we'll recall the vehicles. In this case, Chrysler said, no, we don't think we need to. And it's really, really unusual. No one ever pushes back to the NSSTA. It's only happened a couple of times in the history of the automotive business. One time, it was Chrysler that did it, and interestingly enough, Justice Roberts, the chief of the Supreme Court, the chief justice, was the lawyer for Chrysler, and they beat the NHSTA
wow.
in 1990 on a similar recall. So it'll be really interesting to see. And let's talk about it in a minute. This week has been a big week for recalls. Toyota has recalled 250,000 hybrids, only 85,000, which is still a lot in the U.S. So if you're driving a 2010 Prius or a Lexus HS250, a 2010 model, it may be involved in that recall. Contact your dealer. Now, that was the Lexus recall. Ford has recalled 465,000 vehicles, including the Fusion and the Lincoln MKZ, and those cars are all 2013 models. And here's how it breaks down by model. It's Explorers, Tauruses, Ford Flexes, Fusions. No one's driving these except our friends in uniform, police interceptors and police interceptor sedans, Lincoln MKS, Lincoln MKT, and Lincoln MKZ. Again, contact your local dealer and find out if your car, they can tell by the VIN number, is involved in those. But then Chrysler, they rejected recalling 2.7 million Jeeps. And this has to do with where the gas tank is and what it's made out of. But Chrysler's point in not allowing these Jeeps to be recalled or not going along with this was when they built them, they were up to government specifications.
Mm-hmm.
So the government, at the time they built these, the government said, yeah, they're fine. Now the government's saying, you got to go back in and retrofit these cars because we changed those laws. And Chrysler's saying, look, we understand you changed the law, but these cars were all fine when
right.
we built them. Why would we go back and retrofit them?
They say theirs are as safe as anybody else's.
Exactly,
Built during that time. So apparently the car can catch fire in a rear-end collision. Any car could catch fire in any collision, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a gas tank involved, so trade in those old Jeeps.
On a practical side, here's the other thing. If Chrysler pushes this out for another year, like these are older cars.
Yeah.
Some of these cars go back 20 years. Mm-hmm. The longer they push it out, the longer they don't have to do a recall and spend money, and fewer of these cars will be on the road.
Right.
Yeah. More of these cars will get traded off or go to the junkyard.
But the biggest part of the story is, if Chrysler actually defeats the NHSTA, that will signify that the NSSTA overstepped their boundaries. And that's big news if you're in the car building business, because then it calls into question all of the other recalls that they suggest. So it's a big thing. And manufacturers generally don't do this. They interviewed Bob Lutz, and he was with Chrysler during that 1990 recall when they actually beat the NHSTA in court. And he said that later in his career, when he was with General Motors, that he wanted to go against them, but all the lawyers at GM and all their governmental advisors said, look, don't do it, because you're fighting the government. It's not worth it. Just do the recall, pay the money, go down the road. So we'll see what happens.
It is interesting to see that they're kind of, I think Chrysler has a good point to say, look, these weren't even, they were up to standard whenever we made them, and now you're trying to go back in time.
Well, and that's compounded by the fact that they voluntarily recalled 630,000 Jeeps this week and said, yeah, you're right, we need to do these, but we're not doing the 2.7 million. So we'll see what happens with it, but it's really sort of a first.
Mm-hmm. Well, the crash standard for rear collisions was doubled in 2008.
That's right. And that's why these cars are considered to be not within current regulation.
And they say there was a source that said the calls to move the gas tank from behind the rear axle to a position between the axles would lower the incidence of fires from rear crashes. However, doing so would increase the incident rate of fires from side crashes, which are more prevalent.
Yeah.
So I don't blame them. I mean, there's not even a win there for them to fix it. Right. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, and again, some of those cars are 20 years old. A lot of them are off the road now. Mm-hmm. So if they can put it off for a year, it saves them some money. And the reality is those cars were built to specification at that time. The specs changed later. And why should they have to go back in and retrofit those cars?
I'm with
you. You know, I had a client call me yesterday, an old customer that leased a vehicle for me back in 2003. And now he's got a kiddo going off to college and wanted my opinion about, well, my wife says we should, you know, spend $10,000, buy a cash car and be done with it. He said, but I, you know, there's all these cars, there's ads and everything for, you know, $289 a month and so on and so forth. He said, Tammy, what do you think? Because for me, it's all about cash flow. I have one in college, one going to college. And I said, well, you know, again, it's about your cash flow, but these are also your children. So I'm just going to give you some bits of information to consider.
Mm-hmm.
That $10,000 cash car that you might find, and that's including tax time license out the door that he wants to spend, that vehicle won't have the safety features that these newer vehicles will have. And this is the car that you're going to put your kid in
right.
to go off to college. And they also won't have the newer technology, things like Bluetooth, that would hopefully encourage your kid to put the phone down, and if they are going to be on it, talk, you know, hands-free.
Right.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, don't be stupid and text and drive. Just wanted to throw that in. Go ahead.
My friend. Anyway, after going through that, he decided that he wants to lease a vehicle to send his kid off to college because he wants him to have the newer
safety features
and all the safety features and the Bluetooth and also the peace of mind of, hey, that car's under warranty. If anything does break, I don't have to fret about it.
Yes.
I can tell my kid to just take it to the dealership.
Yeah. And another good point in there, too, is cars have just improved markedly in the last 5 years.
And you got fuel economy.
Huge improvements in mm-hmm. cars, in reliability.
Now, I'm not saying don't buy those used cars. People need to. But he had the option. He asked my opinion.
Right.
And I gave him my objective opinion, you know, from both sides. Let him make the choice.
Right.
And that's what we do at Autoflex, really. You know, we sell cars and we lease cars. So whatever would work best for your lifestyle and your budget, we're going to find a way to help you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Speaking of that, were you about to read the Harry Autoflex Leasing Fan Text?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we talked about Harry Theofilides, who works at Autoflex, and I said that he had sold me my car, and somebody else texted in and said, Harry sold me my car 5 years ago, and I'm still loving it. He's awesome.
Oh, great. Yeah,
we're really lucky. We've got a lot of really good people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not just, we have a whole team. You know, we love our Harry, but everybody there is just really fabulous.
Yes, indeed. Both locations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I want to mention, by the way, came out in the news just this last week. The month of May, there was the largest group or the largest percentage of cars leased in the history of the world. In the month of May in North America, in the United States, 27% of all new car transactions were leases. That's over 1 in 4 of all cars sold were leases. That's never happened before. In fact, it's never been above 23%.
Wow.
That was the highest it's ever been. So 27 is just a huge, huge jump. And I think it's because more people are realizing that it's the least expensive way to drive a car if they look at their driving habits.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to look at how long you keep a car and how many miles you drive and that kind of thing. Some people shouldn't lease, too. It's not for everyone.
There are four segments. There are a standard 25% of the people want to trade cars every 33 months.
Right.
Mainly due to getting out of warranty. Then there is a segment of people that want a new car every 2 years.
That's
right.
Me.
They want that new car smell
mm-hmm. right.
every 2 years. And then you have your 100,000 milers.
Your four to five-year folks.
Till death do us part. And then you've got your lease term people,
right.
or yeah, 3 to 4 years, 4 to 5 years, those people trade.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so you've got all those different segments, and we can fill the need for everybody in those segments.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby Sapp, and me, Sybil, here with you till 10 o'clock. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text number is 43733. And if you want to call Autoflex, what are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of town, autoflex.com if you want to do it all online.
Mm-hmm. And you can get there from your smartphone online too.
You can, or your tablet, because we have a mobile site. It's really easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
You can also see all our great pre-owned cars, and we got a ton of them right now. Lease returns and special purchase cars that we've got in. We've got 2011, 2012, even some 2013 pre-owned cars. And if you're not considering leasing, if you're a buyer and you want to get a pre-owned car and really save a lot of money, we have something called the Flex Buy. Nobody else has it. Absolutely exclusive with us. Gives you all the benefits of ownership with all the good stuff that a lease does. Guaranteed residual, lower monthly payments, no down payment.
I like it.
Save.
Mm-hmm. Let's do some learning on a Saturday, shall we? I'm not familiar with the Dealer Bill of Rights.
Right. This is going on all over America, and Tesla has sort of sponsored this, or not sponsored, it started it off, because Tesla was trying to sell cars in a number of states directly without having franchise dealers, and a number of states went back to their legislation, a number of dealers went to their legislations in the states and said, look, we don't want this to happen. We believe that our system is good like it is, and we don't want the factories to be able to come in and control business themselves. Well, as a direct result, Colorado has just added a lot of muscle to their state franchise laws. And in doing this, they've empowered their dealers not to be so beholden to the manufacturers. The law says that now a dealer can't be forced to upgrade his facility or his showroom or his service department, but every 7 years. Interestingly enough, a couple of weeks ago, New Hampshire did the same thing, and they said that the manufacturer couldn't mandate an update of the franchise facility, but every 14 years. So one of the most important things in a dealer franchise relationship is, or one of the most expensive things, is the things that the manufacturer can make the dealer do. One of those things was build a new facility. That's why you've seen so many new stores all around Dallas, because the manufacturers have come in and said, hey, you guys, if you want to keep your good standing with us, you've got to go out and build a new store.
Did they help pay for a portion of that?
No.
Wow.
It's all up to the franchisee. Now, they'll loan them the money, but they make interest on that. And it's a big investment. And the other thing that's sort of strange is now people go online to check stuff out.
Right.
You don't see hundreds of people all over these car lots on Saturday.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen anymore. But anyway, the laws in a number of states have been changed to help protect the dealer from the manufacturer. Here's the other thing. Tesla lost a big case last week, or a big law lost last week in Texas, because there were two bills in Texas that would have allowed Tesla to go ahead and open factory stores here, which would change our franchise agreements here in Texas. But Tesla lost because Texas didn't pass either law. And now the legislation has retired for the season. And Tesla can't sell cars directly to consumers in Texas. If you want to buy a Tesla, you got to go online. By the way, if you want to
lease one from us.
That's exactly right. We're the only people we know of anywhere that write leases on Teslas. And if you want to lease a Tesla, you can lease it from us. And I'll tell you this, it's a great car.
They're cool looking. I've never ridden in one or seen one in real life, but I've seen them on TV before. And they look awesome. They're so sporty.
It's a pretty car.
I've seen them and driven them, and let me tell you what, they're an awesome car. They've so much cool stuff, and they're so beautifully built and so functional on the inside.
And quiet.
And that's what I've heard, that they're quiet. Yeah.
Here's the other thing Tesla's doing. Tesla is increasing the number of charging stations that they said they were going to build coast to coast. And their desire is to have a system within the United States within the next couple of years so you could drive from New York to L.A. and catch a charge along the way anytime you needed to. They're also increasing the number of charging stations between Austin and Dallas right now. So they're going to be building stations that have quick chargers, which means it'll take around 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes to fully recharge your car, which is a lot faster than most. And these are going to be Tesla stations, and they're going to be free for Tesla owners to charge their cars up.
We were having an interesting conversation the other day about these alternative ways to power your vehicle, and I think we'll have an upcoming show because David has so much knowledge about this. But here was an interesting idea they brought up was, you know, interchangeable batteries. If you could have a reasonably sized battery in a universal battery, like universal charge. You know, we're always at work. You know, somebody's emailing out, who has an iPhone charger? Who has a Samsung charger? You know, because somebody's phone will be dying. Well, if they could do a universal battery for all of these electric cars, then it could be like going to get your propane tank to, you know, have your barbecue.
Exactly.
You could take your empty one in, get a full one. So if you wanted to drive cross country, you could stop, switch out batteries, and keep on going.
Yes.
And you'll see that in Europe before you'll see that here, because the Europeans are trying to come up with a standardized battery for an electric car so that you would have a station where you went in and they would just unplug your big battery and put another big battery, because batteries are huge. Mm-hmm. But they would take out your old battery, put in your new battery, and you'd change batteries rather than charge batteries.
They could do it like at NASCAR, you know, have like the pit.
Right.
It's done. Yep. Instead of waiting for an hour or 3 hours or whatever to recharge.
And we've talked about the impracticality of electric cars right now, and it's because batteries are so big and they weigh so much. And as the gentleman from General Motors explained to me, they don't scale well. So if you build a little bit bigger car, you have to have a lot bigger battery to power it. And then you have a lot more weight and a lot more battery, so then it makes it not really that big an advantage. So until they can figure out a way around the type of batteries that we have now, they have to have an improved power source, or they have to figure out a way to power a car where it doesn't have to carry a battery. Mm-hmm. Maybe power it through the road.
Through the roads where it charges like
Then it makes a lot of sense.
Train cars.
And I know we've covered this before, but how long does the charge last on average?
Depends on which vehicle, right?
Exactly. And on the Tesla.
And the weather.
Yeah.
The
colder it is.
On the Tesla, they say they go up to 300 miles on their top of the line car. And that's with the biggest battery they got. I think it's the 85 kilowatt battery that they've got. So that would be the maximum. And they've got a 200 mile range car also.
But apparently, if it's super cold, it's not going to last that long and take you 300 miles. It can.
Yeah.
Kill the charge.
And it does. I mean, if it's cold, batteries don't perform as well, and that just happens.
We all know that. It takes an extra little...
Yeah.
In the winter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, saw the new Chevy Impala. Will you talk about reviews? Yeah, we can do that. We can review that car. We will be glad to do that.
Next week.
Yeah. And
got to get one.
And the other car I want to drive really badly right now is the 2014 Corvette. It's just the Stingray. It's just such a great-looking car, so I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Is it similar to the old body style?
Negative. It looks a lot more Ferrari-ish than
Negatory.
It does. Yeah. Yeah,
like
it looks. It's really good-looking.
Very cool. I'm going to look one up right now. Check out the 2014 Stingray.
I've got to find out what the release date is on that, because I've already got customers that are asking about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, let me real quickly, I ran into this. One of our customers called us back, and they told us that they were looking at another opportunity, and we tried to make it work, and we couldn't make it work numbers-wise. They'd been given a payment on a 36-month lease, and it wouldn't fit. There was no way to do a 36-month lease.
Mathematically,
it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to the dealer that had told them that, and they told them they were going to give them a 60-month lease, but they were going to give them a 36-month residual. Well, folks, that's a lie. I just want you to know that. There's no such thing. And a 60-month lease is a 60-month lease. And don't let them tell you they're going to get you out early, that it's easy to get out early. Because any lease, you can get out of any lease early. The problem is the difference in what the car's worth and what the payoff is. And before the end of the lease, you're going to owe more on the car than the payoff. I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then it's worth. I'm sorry. The payoff's going to be higher than the car's worth. That's how it's designed. So never lease a car for one day longer than you plan on driving it. And if somebody says they're going to get you out early, run.
Right, because you're signing
paperwork.
Well, if
they're guaranteeing it right up front, they don't even know what the condition of the car is going to be in 3 years.
And how many miles have you put on it? And
that doesn't mean you can just bring it back and give it back.
And did the manufacturer put 100,000 of them in rental service? Because let me tell you, that'll kill the resale on the car.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't guarantee anyone get out of a lease early, and you should never tell anyone they can get out of a lease early because it's not true.
Well, they can get out. It's what will
it's
it cost?
It's expensive.
What
yeah.
will it
right.
cost?
Yeah, yeah. But they're telling them, hey, it's easy. Well, it is easy. You just have to write a big check.
Because in general, when people buy a car and they put it on a 5-year loan, it's 4 years before you're at a break-even period. And this is just in general on a loan and on a basic, you know, any value, any type of car.
Mm-hmm.
Some cars hold their value better than others.
So I guess the thing to read the contract and understand the contract, no matter what you're buying, and realize that you're bound by the contract. So if it says 60 months, it means 60 months. It doesn't matter what a salesman sells you. If you'll read the contract, it says you acknowledge there are no other agreements, either verbal or written, other than that contract. All of them say the same thing. Guess why? Because there are no other agreements. When you sign, you sign. So read your contract. Understand your contract. If you're questioning whether a lease is good for you or not, give us a call because, again, it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to go for a lot of people, and more people than know it actually should be leasing. But call us and we'll tell you. And we'll also tell you the truth. If you've been approached and you've got one of those deals that sounds like it may be too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah.
And if you do want to call AutoFlex, the phone number is 817 or 972-234-1234. We will be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can also log on to the website, autoflex.com. Thank you to Colby Kolbs for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.